This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. The Appalachian region follows the spine of the Appalachian Mountains from southern New York to northern Mississippi. It stretches across 420 counties in 13 states, with more than 25 million people living in the region. Beginning in the 18th century, the upland areas of western Pennsylvania, Virginia, Maryland, and the Carolinas attracted a large number of Scots-Irish immigrants who contribute a baseline cultural identity. Economically, the region has been defined by extractive industries, especially coal mining, and poverty. During hard times, particularly after World War II, hundreds of thousands of Appalachian families migrated north to major Midwestern cities like Cincinnati, Detroit, and Chicago, and hundreds of smaller cities from Newport to Hamilton and Middletown in this area. Politically, Appalachia attracted national attention in the 1960 presidential campaign of John F. Kennedy and in the Lyndon Johnson War on Poverty and the Trump populist campaign in 2016. From April 5th to the 8th, nearly 1,000 people will participate in the 41st annual Appalachian Studies Conference here in Cincinnati. Hamilton County is just one county west of the official Appalachian region, but the theme this year is Restitching the Seams, Appalachia Beyond Its Borders. I'm joined by the Human Services Program Coordinator at the Urban Appalachian Council, Nancy Laird. Mike Maloney has acted as a scholar, advocate, and leader of the urban Appalachian community in Cincinnati for five decades. Cincinnati's first poet laureate, Pauletta Hansel, is with us today. And coalition volunteer, storyteller, writer, and owner of EY Inc., that's I-N-K, Elisa Yancey is with us. If you would like to join the conversation, please call us at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. So welcome, everybody. And just about, 3 weeks out from the beginning of the conference. So mm-hmm. I'm sure all of you are getting ready and getting nervous. So, Mike, let's just start with a statistical question. You love statistics, and I've read all of your reports in the past and all of that kind of stuff. One of the press releases, it says that 40% of the greater Cincinnati population has roots that can be traced to the Appalachian region. Seems high to me, but how do you justify that kind of figure?
We have actually done survey research in the 18-county area, Dr. Bob Ludke. So we had to figure out how do you count Appalachians. So it's based on scientific research.
Okay. So you're trying to figure out genealogy, DNA, what?
Well, it's a matter of, and just like with any other ethnic group, where do your ancestors come from? And we sometimes have to probe to get that because people can't always remember their grandparents, say. But we've been at work on this, and we do a pretty good job of keeping track of the numbers.
Aside from the data, Pauletta, mm-hmm. how would you say that the Appalachian influence manifests itself in the local, regional Cincinnati culture? When you look at what mm-hmm. where we live,
yeah.
how does it manifest itself for you?
Well, one of the things, just sort of building on the numbers, it's I find if I go into almost any group of people, and I found this actually true at my mother's various nursing homes as well, if you just sort of scratch the surface a little bit, you really will find out that at least like a third of the folks there have some sort of root in Appalachia. And, of course, in the older populations, actually remember it and make that, make that known through their food preferences and music and things like that. And I think food preferences and music are maybe a pretty good place to start. That,
and what would you say when you say food preferences? Music, I think maybe we know.
Yeah.
People know a lot about.
Bluegrass and gospel, you know, right. Both white gospel and African-American gospel. With food, well, as my husband, who is from upstate New York, likes to say, it's cornbread without sweetener and soup beans and greens. So Southern food, country food. And if you go to almost any, at least breakfast restaurant, you're going to find biscuits with gravy. And that is definitely a Southern and an Appalachian tradition that has come here. You know, and I also think even beyond music, there's a large influence within the literary community, which of course is my community, of Appalachian writers, poets, playwrights, storytellers. And I think you see here much more of a really kind of narrative storytelling bent with poetry, for example, and perhaps songwriting and other sorts of literary genres that you might not necessarily expect to be quite so narrative and quite so accessible to listeners as opposed to academics.
Alyssa, you are a storyteller,
yes,
and author and editor. Is there a distinctive Appalachian perspective on things?
Well, it's interesting. As my mother came from southeastern Kentucky and moved here to Norwood, so I grew up in Norwood, which was filled with Appalachians at the time that I grew up there.
And did your family move there because of the employment opportunities in Norwood at the time?
It's interesting. Many of my friends did, but my mother moved to work at a soda shop with one of her cousins. So it's very common, I think, that family moved up first, and then you came to join the family. And so we hail from the very far southeast. Eastern reaches of Kentucky. And I think in terms of just growing up surrounded by story and growing up feeling that story is just such an important part of your own identity as well as the identity of people around you. I remember when I was a little kid, my mom would basically interview our neighbors because she was so interested in everybody's story and kind of figuring out their background and their what they considered home and what they considered important. And that just has become, I think, a big part of what has informed my life and my work.
So storytelling, you come by it naturally.
Absolutely, yes.
From the time with your mother.
Yes.
So, Nancy, this is this conference is a little bit different than certain others that have been organized by academic institutions.
True.
This one's being organized by a community organization,
mm-hmm.
Urban Appalachian communities.
Correct.
How does that change what's going to take place in this conference?
It has changed everything. As a person who's attended many of the different conferences in the different states and the different places, this is the first one. It's, like you said, outside the region, but we have opened the city, and the city has opened its arms to the conference, and we have venues all over town. And like Alyssa was saying earlier, hip-hop, and, you know, we have the Aronoff, and we have, there's going to be movies shown at theaters, and, you know, we have the Freedom Center, and it's just fabulous, and all the different, it's totally different information that is being offered, and it's very exciting, actually.
One of the things that struck me as I looked at the program, and Mike, let me direct this at you, it seems that a lot of the issues that are going to be tackled in the conference parallel things that this city is grappling with at the moment. Whether it be childhood poverty, and I don't like that term. It makes it sound like if we could just get kids to work earlier, we would solve that. Family poverty, generational poverty, mm-hmm. however you want to analyze that, to early education opportunities. It seems to me that a lot of what you're dealing with is right in the sweet spot of what Cincinnati is dealing with right now. Not necessarily under the rubric of Appalachian.
That's true. The opioid epidemic, for example, which is a crisis here, is also a crisis in small communities in Appalachia that will be dealt with during the conference. Health crisis in general, and underserved populations. And not all problem stuff, of course. A lot of cultural celebration, and folklorists and historians, people like yourself who are just exploring history and culture, very rich veins of that. But education is one of the topics, and people will get a chance to see Euler School, for example. The last time we showed the film Euler at an Appalachian Studies conference, people had tears in their eyes. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
And they should. That's one of the most powerful documents about urban Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. In some cases, it's about more than just Appalachian, mm-hmm. but it is a incredible story that was documented there.
And there'll be people here from parts of Appalachia where there are severe environmental problems, including mountaintop removal. Mm-hmm. Well, Lower Price Hill has its own version of environmental crisis, which is better these days, but it's still not a safe community to live in environmentally.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to bring up, because right now on a national level, there are changes taking place in policy, especially in environmental policy, that affect not only urban space, but areas of Appalachia. So the idea that the tailings from mining can now be dumped back into streams again because of the pullback. This time last year, my wife and I went down to plant trees in a place that had been – it was like a moonscape that had been turned in because of mountaintop removal. And I don't think until you see something like that, you realize what it's about. So is that the sort of thing – I don't even know who to direct this to – is that the sort of policy that you see people wanting to talk about right now in this conference?
I'm sure it will be. I think that, you know, the folks who are coming, whether they're coming from Cincinnati's community or coming from throughout the region, are the people who really are most interested and invested in issues that face ourselves and our neighbors every day. It's, you know, Nancy was talking about kind of the difference of this conference. And one of the differences of the Appalachian Studies Conference in general is that even though it's a studies conference, the whole Appalachian Studies movement really came out of activists and artists mm-hmm. and community yes. members who chose to go into academia as a way of being able to serve the communities that they came from. So you can be sure, it's a great question, you can be sure we're really going to be looking at both the issues that the communities are facing, but also potential solutions to how we can come together across these borders, you know, okay. over these seams to deal with them.
I want to pick up a little bit on one of the themes that you're going to explore is the diversity and inclusion aspects. And one of the things about Appalachia is that people maybe have stereotypes, and they may be very narrow stereotypes. And like any area that is – any region that is as big as what we described at the beginning has got to have a lot of different people with a lot of different backgrounds and interests going on. So as you think about the Appalachian region, the Appalachian people, and the question of diversity and inclusion, how would you approach that? Mike, do you want to start us out?
Well, you mentioned the Anglo-Saxons. Other very large groups that came into the mountains were people from all parts of the British Isles and a good chunk of people from Germany, people from Ireland, people from Africa. Some of the people from Africa married white folks or they married Cherokees. So we have entire communities in the mountains of mixed race people. And some of our leadership are people of mixed race and, you know, for example, Irish, African, and Cherokee. So the people of all kinds, including new Hispanic immigrants, would find something of interest at this conference.
One of the things about this conference is that on Saturday, April the 7th, is going to be a community day. What are the opportunities that are going to be there? Nancy, do you want to?
Well, actually, I'm taking a tour, and it's going to be one that's in, around it, the environment and around, you know, things like that, pollution, things like that. That's one of the ones I'm driving. I'm not speaking on that one. But
You won't be able to stop speaking.
That's true. But it's going to be very interesting. And we're doing we're wanting people in the communities to come in who've never been to a conference before, perhaps, or who've never been to an Appalachian Studies conference before. And just really get to know Cincinnati and the things that are happening and the things we're really looking forward to expanding.
And it's free.
And it's free.
That's what I was going to get to.
I should say that. Yes. So if you go on our website, uacvoice.org, and follow the links to the Appalachian Studies Conference, you'll see that you can sign up by March 26th for Community Day. And all of the events that happen during the daytime, including the tours that Nancy is talking about, are free, free registration for the entire day. And it really is, that particular day really is focused on community issues mm-hmm. and community solutions.
Yes.
So from the very beginning of the day with many plenaries on our six theme areas to the end of the day with a many, many plenaries that really focus on solutions, community is going to be at the center of that that event.
I noticed that one of those tours is going to go out to the edge of Appalachia, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is owned by the Cincinnati Museum Center.
That's
and if people
great.
Have never been there out in Adams County, mm-hmm. it is an incredible place to go for many, many reasons,
right.
and I highly recommend
right.
that.
And that is an all-day tour on Thursday the 5th
that folks can sign up for.
Yeah.
Because it's a distance.
It is, right.
But then there's going to be these walking tours of various communities, whether it's over the Rhine, whether it's Lower Price Hill, mm-hmm. whether it's – I think Northside's included in that. I don't know. There's a lot of different tours.
Right, including actually a Cincinnati Taproom brewery tour that focuses
and,
on
– And I was going to ask about how that fit in, but I'm not going to. I'm not sure what's – okay.
There's a little bit of culture everywhere.
That's absolutely right.
That's the inclusive part.
Many of those taprooms are actually in places that used to be industrial Cincinnati, which are places where Appalachian people would have come to.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes,
right.
Very much so. One of the things I want to ask you is that maybe 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, a book was published, Hillbilly Elegy, by J.D. Vance. It got lots of attention. Mm-hmm. And J.D. Vance is someone who grew up in Middletown, which is in our region. This is the Cincinnati-Middletown region. Statistically speaking, and it was very much a critique of where Appalachian culture has come outside the region, what's happened to it. Is this something that's going to be tackled in the conference? Is this something that you tackled last year? I don't know, but it was certainly a book that had a great deal of readership and a great deal of influence.
Well, I just want to mention that there will be a session not only about sort of a conversation, Don't Cry for Us, J.D. Vance, but J.D. Vance was actually going to be on a panel at the conference itself. So that is, I think, in a way of addressing and sort of speaking to some of the issues that
he is going to be on a panel?
He's on a panel, so he will be here. But I think for me, as an urban Appalachian, one of the things that is so exciting about this conference is that it really does celebrate the diversity of the culture. And I think getting caught up in stereotypes is an easy answer for a lot of societal ills. And I think that one of the things I admire about the organizers of this conference is that they have reached beyond the stereotypes to really talk about the richness and the things that have helped form us as a city and as a culture. And some of those things are magical. Some of them are dysfunctional. But I think that we are embracing all of them as opposed to highlighting more the negative and sort of focusing on a single subset.
This whole question of stereotypes and with J.D. Vance, since I posed it this way. I mean, J.D. Vance is grew up or was born in Appalachia. His grandparents moved up to Middletown to work in the mills. you know, he speaks from inside the culture. He's not just somebody speaking from outside the culture with stereotypes that may be distant. So what do you do? I mean, what does this conference do? What is the long-term effort to attack the stereotypes that are out there about people from Appalachia?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that we really find, and I think it's true, as true in Middletown as it is perhaps in other Appalachian neighborhoods, is that people don't necessarily have the full picture of what our history is. And so it's very easy to buy into the cultural stereotypes if the cultural stereotypes about your people are the only thing that you ever hear. You know, if you only hear things that speak to, you know, Appalachians being a certain way without understanding the long history of activism and cultural expression, then you're likely to believe that about yourself. And so the studies conference and other things that the Urban Appalachian Community Coalition does is to help counteract that and to help us learn more about our own history.
But there will be papers, Dan. Here's an example. If Appalachian men are stereotyped as being wife beaters, you might find a paper presented at our conference by researchers who have studied Appalachian male behavior and find they don't beat their wives any more often than any other ethnic group. So that's one way our serious empirical scientist type people actually look at questions like that. And there'll probably be 50 sessions dealing with stereotypes in one way or the other.
So you're trying to address that in terms of bringing data and bring scientific analysis to the questions that are surrounded there.
And also having people tell their own stories.
Right.
Exactly. They're
education.
Discussions.
Yeah, education,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we have just a minute left, less than a minute. What's it mean to have this conference come to Cincinnati outside the region itself, but very close? And we have about 30 seconds left.
Well, we're reminding the folks down home that we're here. Mm-hmm. We're setting up an experience where people who still live in rural regions learn from people who are still Appalachian who live in urban centers. So a big exchange.
Okay. I want to thank my guests today and wish them a great conference. Mike Maloney is a spokesperson advocate for the urban Appalachian community in Cincinnati. Alisa Yancey, a publisher and storyteller. Nancy Laird, a human services program coordinator. And Pauletta Hansel, the poet laureate of Cincinnati. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstrow. Archives of our programs are available on the website, wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.